This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lonnie Johnson, and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 and KRWR, the team on 92.1. As always, you can reach out to us at ktbb.com/infocus for your thoughts and ideas on the show. This morning, I am honored to set again with Deontay Garrett of the Mentoring Alliance in town. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here again.
So before we get started with the Mentoring Alliance, let's just cover the fact that Patrick won again this weekend, right?
He did. Congratulations, everybody.
Who are you a fan of in the football?
My guy isn't playing anymore. I'm a Peyton Manning guy. So now I just get to watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, really? When he was gone, you were done?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. End of football, on to Mentoring Alliance.
Yeah.
Deontay, tell everyone what the Mentoring Alliance does.
So we exist to mobilize godly people into the lives of kids and families to provide tangible help and eternal hope. We do that through three programs. We have our summer camp program, operates in the school, full of faith, fun, and academics. We have our after-school program, which also operates in the school, viewed as a safe place in this community and many others. And then our Mentor Connect program, which matches godly men and godly women with kids in the community from single-parent homes, extended families, or adopted families.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about each one for a minute. Single parent homes.
Mm-hmm.
What are the main challenges with single parent homes that the parent and the child see?
I would say from a parent perspective, just remembering what my mom was going through, I would say it's they have to go to work. And so I can remember coming home where some people may have one parent or both parents maybe at home when they get off of school. My mom was typically at work because she had to provide for the house. So I think a lot of our single moms want somebody there to be present in their life to fill some of those gaps that occur simply because they can't do everything. So I think that would be a challenge from a single mom perspective. But for a kid's perspective, a lot of our mentees are missing their father. And so having a mentor stepping up into their life and providing hope, exposing them to certain things, is helping them to grow in confidence, to become better individuals. But also, ultimately, we want to point them to Christ and help them understand that they have a father, and that father is in heaven, and we call him Abba Father. And so that's the ultimate goal for all of our programs.
For their lack of a worldly father,
yeah.
What do you see? You and I both were children of divorce, I guess.
My father passed when I was a baby.
Your father passed. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you? The biggest void, I think, mm-hmm. is confidence.
For sure.
That child has, mm-hmm. and so at the Mentoring Alliance, obviously it's very faith based. Mm-hmm. But what tools do you work with? Do you have in your tool chest to help a child with confidence issues? Yeah. Because that confidence goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's training and equipping our mentors to show up, be present, and stay consistent, to continue to love them and push them towards whatever areas they want to pursue growth in. And that alone gives them that gifting of confidence and hope that they can do more than what they see around them.
What if, give me one of the many kids that's a real success story,
yeah,
without naming them.
I'll start with the kid I spoke of last time. You know, his mentor is a real estate guy, real estate broker. He came into his life, and then that mentee ended up pursuing his real estate license. Now he has his real estate license, and now he's going to pursue a real estate career. It sounds quick and simple, but when we expose kids to certain things, we never know where it's going to take them. So now that kid seeing his mentor, what his mentor life looks like, and now he wants his family life to resemble that, and he knows the steps to get there because he has somebody step up and step into his life and show him the way. So for me, that's a huge success.
That's what tripped my curiosity. So when the kids, they get to actually see something that they never would have seen as a possibility.
Right.
So they get to open possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a mentee myself. I have a mentor in my life. I have several mentors in my life. But the guy that came into my life when I was 16 is John Moore. And so I remember going to my mom and I asked her, like, what do I need to do to be a man in this house? And she said, I can't teach you how to be a man. You know, you got to find it somewhere else. And fortunately for me, a man named John Moore chose to step up and step into my life at that time and teach me how to be a man. And more importantly, a man of God. But I remember going to his house and just watching him, how he talked to his wife, how he disciplined his kids, how they ate at the table, the discussions they had around the table. I learned so much just sitting there and being present. And so that's a huge part of it, what we expose them to, just being in proximity. What are we teaching everybody? We overlook some of that stuff because it's so habitual for us. But for a kid that has never been exposed to that, that's a huge deal.
Well, one of the different challenges for a young lady than a young man, well, like a young lady without a mom in the house.
We don't have a lot of that, but I mean, whatever a mother would provide that I wouldn't necessarily know from a young lady's perspective. For my mom, she taught us a lot about hard work, how to love and care for one another, her dedication to her family. I'm sure there's some nurturing things.
Yeah, those aren't gender specific for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some nurturing things there that my sister may have picked up on that I didn't. My sister is very much like my mom in how she cares for everybody and wants everybody to be in her house and all that kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily that way, but my sister got a lot of that from my mom. And so even being a single mother, she was still like a superhero to us, all the stuff that she accomplished. So when a mom isn't there, I mean, I imagine that you lose a lot of that caring and nurturing just for everyone. It's maybe more about self-centered without the mom in there.
When your mother looked at you and told you that she can help you with just about everything except being a man.
Yeah.
How did that resonate with you at the time?
It blew my mind at the time because she had taught me so much. I felt like she had taught me almost everything, you know, and I was following her by her representation. Like I said, all of us are hard workers, and I think it's because my mom was always a hard worker. And so when she said that, I was just like, wow, she can't teach me how to be a man. But when she said it, I knew it was true because she had never said anything like that before. And so it just put me in the mind frame where, like, wow, I really got to listen to coaches. I got to listen to pastors and uncles and all these guys that would have were trying to discipline me and talk to me, but I just had my wall up. Like, you're not my dad. You can't teach me how to be a man.
How old were you?
I was 16.
Okay, so you're 16. Your cortex is starting to form. So things are making sense to you.
I thought I was grown.
Well, right. Is that kind of what started the conversation with your mother?
Right, yeah, my oldest brothers were out of the house. I'm the baby, two older brothers and the older sister, and so I'm helping out with bills and all this stuff. And me and my mom are clashing a little bit because I feel like I'm an adult. That's how I'm acting. And she would let me, you know, do certain things. I mean, I didn't have like a curfew and all of that stuff. Like it wasn't like that, and so I didn't know what my boundaries were. And so that's why I asked her, like, what do I need to do to be the man of this house? Because I feel like it was just an imbalance there. And it still was. Like, I wasn't ready to be the man of the house. That was the truth of it. But I was just so immature at the time.
You didn't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I think that's what the power of mentorship is about.
Yeah.
You're kind of exposed to things that you have questions about and a mentor to guide you through those answers.
Right. Absolutely. So John Moore coming into my life, man, he taught me so much. Just helped me with so much I was going through at the time. A lot of depression, a lot of just anxiety about life, what I was going to do after high school, going into college, still struggling with my identity. Just having somebody stable there outside of my mom and my family was just super beneficial.
So today's kids, what are you, around 30?
I'm 30.
Good guess. So today's kids, I've been thinking a lot even since we spoke last time. Is it possible now that we've kind of degenerated the home so much that you can have two parents in the home and still be lacking for mentorship?
I heard a pastor say, a local pastor, he said, I have guys mentoring some of my sons because I find the value in the village. And I think that's awesome. I think we all should think that way because God places so many people around us. It's not just us. I mean, there's teachers, there's coaches, there's all these people that help us grow and develop our children. So I think a mentor could benefit a two-parent home just as much as it can benefit a one-parent home.
Because I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there that struggle with faith.
Mm-hmm.
How to teach their kid? Maybe they had a bad an association with the church that wasn't great, and they kind of, just didn't push that. Yeah. And churches are struggling everywhere.
Absolutely.
for attendance.
Yeah.
And of course, when the people aren't attending and aren't feeding themselves that knowledge, then it's hard to pass it on.
Yeah. I truly live by this philosophy too, that I will always be a mentee and I'll always be a mentor. And I think everybody should always have somebody pouring into them and investing in them, submitting to somebody, being accountable to somebody, and then investing that back into someone else, young in you, the next generation. I think it's just fruitful for the world to do that.
That's a great point because, I mean, you mentor the children initially, yes, when they're young. But the truth is, I think I had the good fortune of having a father. He wasn't around that much. He was always around, but it was a divorce situation where I didn't live with him. But I found out in my older age, like starting to maybe your age, okay, then the questions became bigger questions,
right?
And having that to go to was a very, I guess a blessing for me.
Absolutely.
In a big way.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think that father mentorship ends, and that's what you're pointing out, is you always want to be a mentee so that you can mentor effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just continual growth and development. I want to be 80 years old, and God willing, I don't know if he'll still be around, but God willing, if he is, I'll still be listening to him. I mean, I talk to my mentors all the time. I talk to him about purchasing a home and all that stuff just recently. So I'm still asking some of those bigger questions, trying to figure it out, because that's just not stuff we're taught growing
up. It's not taught in primary school. It's not taught in college.
Yeah.
There's, classes to teach you, amortization and all those things, but not really to teach you, hey, is a bad time in the market to buy?
Right.
Will I be upside down? Can I afford this much?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, man. You need people to help invest in you and just share that knowledge.
Let's talk for a second about the young man who was mentored by the realtor that went into the real estate market.
Yeah.
If you would, kind of explain to the audience how that young man literally didn't know what he didn't know.
Yeah. So coming from a single parent home, all the struggles, your environment that you live in, for any young man, like, that is what you see. When I was growing up, what I saw was, for a black man, we were either pastors, you may be an athlete, or I could work at like a local plant that we had around. So that's the lid that you kind of put on yourself, because you like, this is my limitation, because this is what I'm exposed to, this is what I see.
You now install a lower ceiling than probably could be capable of.
That's what you see. That's all you can expect. But when I go sit at my mentor's table, and the same for this mentee, when he goes and hangs out with his mentor, he sees, oh, my mentor has a big house. My mentor is, what is he doing? Oh, he's a real estate broker. What is that? So you start asking questions, trying to figure out, is this something I could do as well? And so then there's hope. So now I can loosen that lid up a little bit. And now, once I start gaining the knowledge to actually function in that capacity, now the lid's off. And it's a whole new ceiling set. And so it's just being exposed to the certain things and then gaining the knowledge from it to be able to take that lid off that we place on ourselves often, or maybe family members or whatever limit us because we're just not exposed. So once that lid is off, we can really be who God created us to be and function in whatever role he placed us in.
Is that the advice you would give, like if we have a parent listening or a child listening right now, is that don't put your lid on too tight?
Yeah, don't put a lid on at all.
Right.
Don't put a lid on at all. Expose our kids to as much as we can expose them to. And I know the financial capabilities is a lot of time an issue for single moms, grandparents. Like, I can't do that. So then come to a place like Mentoring Alliance or wherever place is mentoring, or find somebody in the local church that's like, hey, would you be willing to take my son out or take my daughter out and just show her kind of what you do? you'd be amazed how many quality people there are out there that be willing to just let your kids shadow them a day or just do that. I think there are mentors all over the world doing what we do. We just do it in a program setting. And I just want to say thank you to all of those people who are doing that, because you're needed, you're valued, and that investment is huge.
Let's speak for a second about why you're here today, which is the January celebration Mentoring Alliance. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of share what the month means?
So it's National Mentoring Month. It is where we honor all of our mentors and also seek out other mentors to join the program. But as I said, like, I really take it to honor all those people who are mentoring in their communities outside of Mentoring Alliance. I mean, you got Big Brother, Big Sister. You got all these other organizations all across the world where people are stepping up and stepping into the life of kids. So it's a really recognition worldwide to all of those people. Here in Tyler, we want to honor those mentors that we have in our program. We've had over 500 since Mentoring Alliance started, godly men and godly women in this community who have chosen to step up and step into the life of kids. And so we want to say thank you.
Thank you for doing it. Let's just talk about if someone wants to be of service at the Mentoring Alliance, is there a background check? How do you ensure that they're good mentors and not,
So the big thing, you're a good mentor. The big things are, obviously, our mentors have to be faith-based. So we typically go and recruit at local churches. So all the pastors, any pastors hear me, we're willing to come into your church and present for 5 to 10 minutes about what Mentor Connect is. So we go into the local church, someone signs up, they go through the interview process, they go through background check, we do references. Once they get through all of that stuff, then we train them, and we continually train them even after they're matched. After the training, that is when they get matched with their mentee. That'll be the first time they meet their mentee and the parent.
And that mentee and mentor stay together for the duration, right? It's not like just a short amount of time that these two are establishing. The whole point is for them to establish a relationship.
Absolutely. And so now what we commit to, I have a team, mobilization coordinator. Her job is to interview and train and vet. And the mentor coaches, they really are helping the growth and development and the safety of each relationship. So they have a caseload. So we commit to overseeing the growth and development of each match for up to 2 years. After that point, it transitions to our alumni program, where you're still invited to all of our events, but you no longer have that supervision under our care.
How supportive are the local churches?
Many of them are very supportive. We're partnering with over or close to 60 churches here in Tyler, but there are also many that just
don't. That's probably only 25% of the churches in Tyler.
See, I say many. I'm from a small town, though. It's like 400 churches here.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I drove back from South Tyler on Broadway one day.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, I think I saw like 8 churches before I hit town. But I guess that's a good thing.
In saying that, there are many churches that have no idea what Mentor Connect is. A lot of people know what Mentoring Alliance is because we operate in the school. So they're familiar with summer camp because you see it. After school, because you see it. You see the banners. It's at the school. Mentor Connect is a bit different because you can see a guy and a kid hanging out, or a woman and a young girl hanging out. And you may have questions because she may be white and that kid may be black, but you probably just assume it's foster care or adopted. You wouldn't even assume it's a Big Brother, Big Sister type program, Mentor Connect, one-on-one mentoring. And so one of our big things is just getting that awareness out here in the community that Mentor Connect is here. It does exist. We are putting godly men and godly women into the life of kids. So if you want to meet with the kid 2 times a month and you're willing to do that, the opportunity is available to you.
I think, I hope I didn't cover this earlier in the interview, but it's just a question that's just racing in my mind. We just talked about the differences that kids face today. Mm-hmm. Do you find that the youth maybe are a little more angry than they used to be when they come to you initially? Like maybe anger hits them a little younger? You know, because anger comes to kids in situations, I think, really, like preteen. That's when you really start steaming, you know, 10 or 11 years old. You know, you start figuring things out. Yeah. Is it more complicated now? Do they face more scrutiny with social media?
Social media phones, all that stuff in general, it does make it a little bit more complicated because you're battling for attention in a sense. But once you get that kid one-on-one, it's pretty much the same. I mean,
you can love them like Facebook can't.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same challenges, but like when you're not with them, what they're exposed to, what they're watching, you know, and that's why that 2 times a month, for some people it sounds like a lot, and to some people that join, like, that's not enough time, because you just, they're going back home into whatever they're watching or listening to, and then you're battling all that once they get back with you. So it's a challenge. Social media is a challenge for adults and kids, though. We got to figure out how to not be so addicted to our phones and glued into everything that's going on around us and focus on who God placed in front of us.
So the argument you would make is for nurture.
Yeah.
Okay. Nature, yeah. Nature's really not that big a predictor of who you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what impresses me the most about what you do there is just, I don't know, just giving them a good example. Like you said, they go home probably. I mean, I can't think of a child with just an amazing situation going to the Mentor Alliance in search of a mentee. Mm-hmm. I can see them being a mentee, like Katie. You know what I mean? I've met Katie a couple times, and she seems like someone that has something good to offer. You seem like someone who has something good to offer. You know, when you gave your speech the other day at the event, it was clear that you had a purpose.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what also a lot of these kids lack, is finding their purpose.
Yeah. Kids and adults, man, it's finding that drive. Big questions. Why am I here? Like, what's the purpose of my life? Who created me? Like, figuring that out and then identifying that and then running full speed with it. Like, I figured it out. Praise God. He told me exactly what my mission was, to help break the cycle of the fatherless home. So it'll be in pursuit of that.
Let's drill down on that for a minute.
Okay.
Because we've talked about my outlook, so to speak. How did you find that out?
I would say it starts way back, right when my father passes. So my whole life trajectory, getting a mentor in my life, from that point on, I knew I wanted to pay that back. Like, what
how
my
old
mentor
were you?
Did for me. So I was 16 when he came into my life.
Okay.
So by the time I get into college, I'm 19, 20, 18.
Well, I mean, when your father passed, I'm sorry.
I was two.
Two. Okay. So you don't...
Yeah, so I'm way back there, but I'm just putting all this story together.
Okay, sure.
So that kind of cultivated into me needing that mentor, growing in maturity. By the time I get college age, I'm going up to New York and working with this ministry up there for young guys that are coming out of prison, coming out of homelessness, and I'm seeing a lot of the stuff I went through and dealt with, they were dealing with. And so I knew I wanted to be a part of something like that. And so one day I'm up there driving to work, and I'm listening to this guy speak, and he talks about how God will send somebody to turn the hearts of the children back to the father, and the hearts of the father back to the children, or he cursed the land. It's in Malachi. And so I'm listening, and immediately I felt the Spirit tell me, like, this is why. Like, not that that was me, but he was placing me in that area to help break the cycle of the fatherless home. And then I had a young man up there tell me, like, Happy Father's Day. Like, you the first guy that ever represented a father figure to me. Now, imagine hearing that from a kid that I didn't have my biological, I didn't have my father. So the only reason I got that was from a man stepping up and stepping into my life. And so my full mission is to step up and step into the life of any young man that God places around me, to show him what a man of God, what a father looks like, in order that he can step up when it's his time to be responsible and do the exact same thing for his children.
So you kind of have to be a man to raise a man, not in the physical sense, you know what I mean, but be a grown up to raise to raise a functioning child.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's what the mentorship Mentoring Alliance offers. I want to give their URL again. It's TheMentoringAlliance.com. You can go there. I visited their website. They have contact information. They have information specifically regarding mentorship and how you can volunteer, how you can be there. How pressed are you for volunteers?
Well, right now we have approximately 44 young people waiting for godly men and godly women to mentor them. So the need is great.
A again, what was the number?
44.
44. Mm-hmm. So just in Tyler.
Just in Tyler.
Just in Tyler. Is the Mentoring Alliance only exist in Tyler?
No. So we're in surrounding areas as well as Tyler. So I don't know if that's what you mean, but we're in White House
and Bullard
and Chapel Hill and Chandler, getting ready to head up to Lindale and maybe one day Longview. We're also in Waco and Abilene. So we're definitely growing and expanding.
Did it start in Tyler?
It started in Tyler.
That's pretty amazing. That's a good thing to have a feather in your cap,
so
to speak. That's a nice thing to live on. So do you find that a lot of the times when I think of kids that are, you know, having trouble, I want to think of, like, inner city kids. I know there's not really an inner city,
right.
I mean, here in Tyler that I could make out. But I think of just kids from a bad area, which I don't know where that would be, but that's my old man, you know, vision of it. But the truth is, they're everywhere, right?
They're everywhere.
Like Chapel Hill.
The need is everywhere, honestly. And even in wealthy families, in poor families, they're single parent homes, like their grandparents raising kids. Like, you would be surprised how many situations are like that all over Tyler, all over all these surrounding towns.
Last big question I ask you, didn't ask you last time. It's now, I think 50% of the humans under 30 live at home right now.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay, I think that's the statistic I read. What's your thoughts on that? When's a good time for, I mean, is it just the maturity of the child? Do you think that the economy, what is the reason?
I think economy has a big, big play on it. But I will say, you know, I went to Africa when I was in college, and those kids, I say kids, they look like kids, but they were actually older than me.
Right.
They were telling me, like, they don't typically leave the house until they're around that age.
Right.
Because I guess the family just understands their growth and maturity. If the child isn't ready, they don't push them out. I think in our country, we've got so used to 18, you gone, that we almost do that a little bit too much. And there's a lot of kids that's not prepared at 18. I don't know about 30. 30 may be pushing it, but at least giving them a little leeway to actually grow and develop before we start letting them make those big life decisions.
There's not actually a timetable that fits every child.
Right, for sure.
I was out of the house at 16 and a half with an apartment at 17.
Yeah.
There's no way I think my son, he's a wonderful young man, very capable.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I mean? I just don't know if he can do that. So I wonder, you know, in today's world, with it's so much more complicated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm way older than you. I'm 57.
Yeah.
So my world, I've talked about this with people, was far different than what these children face today.
Yeah.
And I think the Mentoring Alliance is important. And also, maybe they're not ready. Maybe they're not cooked well enough at 18.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
I think we gotta let them stew a little bit. So, you know, they come out and they're actually ready for this work. We got to start training them on the things, the life skill stuff, not just what they learn at school, but get people prepared for all of the economy questions, all of the life skills that we're not teaching them at home or in schools, so they're ready to actually go and be out there by themselves.
Yeah. Do you find that kids are a little more self-centered in that their things that their wants, needs, and desires are first before they put others?
I would use the word entitlement.
So you
think that's where you're hitting that?
I think so. Thank you.
It's a lot of that, period. But definitely in the younger generation that I see, a lot of entitlement. Just
what are we doing to cause that? Getting them everything?
Giving them stuff, getting them everything, not making them earn it. I think it's a lot of that. And we got to get back to understanding the root of the process to get to stuff, because in that process you learn, you grow and develop. We can't just hand stuff out, because then you're missing all of that work in between to get there, and that is purposeful.
Right. They don't see what we do to do those things for them. They just see those things show up.
Yeah.
Well, got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I love it
for sure. That's good. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh boy. In 10 years, I don't know, man, but I'll be on the path to helping break the cycle of the fatherless home.
Still.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right. I mean, there's worse things in life to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, I think you probably got a lot of time left to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you again for sitting with me today. Again, Deontay Garrett is with the Mentoring Alliance. It's thementoringalliance.com. And it's also, if you need to go and just physically go there, it's on Broadway and Old Jacksonville, where they merge right there, right across from Bergfeld Center.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful building.
Yes, sir.
And you're welcome there anytime. And what it you kids that might use this service are pretty internet friendly. So go to thementoringalliance.com.
Please be internet friendly.
That's right.
Forgive me.
They are almost too. Me either. Deontay Garrett. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you have a great week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.